Coming up to 28 minutes past nine here on TAB Trackside Radio. Let's have a look at some Heartland Rugby over the weekend now. And joining us, as he normally does on a Monday morning, Kevin here from rugbyheartland.co.nz. G'day, Kevin. How are you doing today?
Morning, Glenn. Very good.
Excellent, mate. Now, the scores, even though some of them are quite high scoring over the weekend, Kevin, not as high as they have been, but still some pretty thrilling matches, including that 36-all draw between North Otago and Horowhenua Kapiti.
Yeah, well, as mentioned last week, you know, it was going to be a tight tussle this weekend, but yeah, two draws and the possible chance there for a third draw with the Whanganui-South Canterbury game. I wasn't expecting it to be, you know, the teams to be that tight.
No, amazing, isn't it? 36-all, but that was one of the TV games again, wasn't it? It was the curtain raiser of that game between Otago and Tasman. A good example of what Heartland Rugby's all about, eh? And nice to showcase the competition nicely, didn't it?
Well, it does. And I mean, and at the end of the day, it's all about the entertainment factor. And literally, just before you called, I just finished doing my, you know, just going through some stats from the first three rounds. And at the moment, you know, over all the games, over the first three rounds of Heartland Championship, we've had 144 tries.
Yeah.
Which breaks down to 8 tries on average per game. And, okay, that was blown out by a couple of big wins by Whanganui. But then even this week, you're still getting those, you know, the bonus points. Everyone's getting those try bonus points for 4 tries. The amount of games that are going down to the 8-point loss, I mean, literally every team's picking them up. And with the 2 draws over the weekend, I mean, that's just, I mean, we've only got 4 points separating, you know, third down to 8th place. Hmm. So it's still all up for grabs.
Yeah, it really is, isn't it? All right, let's have a look at some of these games over the weekend. First of all, Wairarapa Bush 26-16 over Mid-Canterbury and Ashburton. Always a hard place for visiting teams to win at, isn't it, Kevin? Mid-Canterbury generally one of the better teams in the competition, but Wairarapa Bush, after that hiccup in the first round, have come good the last couple of weeks.
Well, they certainly have, and that is a big win. That's almost like a season defining win, that one. Mid Canterbury just had a shocker. I don't know what happened there, but Wairarapa Bush, you know, they are still ruining their decisions from that game against King Country in week one. And if they had taken those decisions, they'd be right up there with Whanganui sitting at the top of the table.
Yeah, indeed. They're not to be. They're still hovering there in 5th place, though, which is means they're still well in the hunt for a Meads Cup spot again, Wairarapa Bush. Then we go to Thames Valley, King Country, 22-all, the second draw of the weekend in Te Araha. And King Country and Thames Valley, what do we make of this result?
Well, it was a big day for them up at Te Araha. It was their, you know, the local derby. You know, they were basically playing rugby all day through all the age grades between the two unions. Thames Valley, I mean, they just haven't been able to get that knockout blow at the end. They've just been sort of, you know, they've had 3 games, they've had 2 lost bonuses. They just can't seem to put the foot on the throat. But for King Country to come back, they were coming off a 6-game winning run in the Heartland. So they're still there and thereabouts. They're sitting in 4th place. So I think Thames Valley probably got away with picking up a bonus couple of points there with that draw.
Yes, indeed. Well, that's good for them, isn't it, Thames Valley? Yeah. Better than nothing. North Otago, Horowhenua Kapiti. North Otago too, but slow to get started. But they're also proving to be quite a decent opponent now for teams, aren't they, Kevin? I wouldn't discount them from being in the mix somewhere near the end.
Well, true. I mean, the thing is, too, they had a huge pre-season. They went to Canada and played 3 games, which was an awesome thing to see. You know, these guys do get to, you know, travel outside New Zealand. And but I don't know. I mean, we still look at who they've played at the moment. And, you know, some of these teams that are going well at the moment still got to come up against a couple of the big guns. I mean, you saw Horowhenua last week. They went down to the Wairarapa Bush. I'll sort of be putting my finger on where North Otago sit from next week,
okay.
I believe.
All right.
Yeah.
Poverty Bay hosted Buller. Buller 30-18, the winners there. Of course, Buller were fantastic a couple of years ago. Not so good last year, but they look like they might be on the road back a little bit. Kevin, what do you think?
No, definitely. I mean, they've got that tight group. Unfortunately, dictating what happened down there in Buller this year with their club rugby, they've only had the four teams to pick from. But if you look at their squad, they've all got the experience there. I mean, James Lash is literally leading the points in the competition at the moment. Just off the top of my head, he's got five tries. I think he's leading that. And he's, if he goes down, they could be in major trouble because, he's their main goal kicker. He snapped the win against Mid Canterbury last week with that final drop goal. So if James Lash can stay healthy, I think they could be in the mix. Yeah.
All right. Then we get to that game, which was Whanganui. Really pushed hard here for once, weren't they? Big wins earlier on in the season. But South Canterbury, whom you've also tipped as being a team to watch this year, really gave them a good run for their money in this game.
South Canterbury were in front at half time there, and it was like, which way is this game going? And it literally just came down to a conversion miss, unfortunately. Otherwise, we would have had our third draw for the weekend. Whanganui were pushed hard, and they needed it after the two sort of easier games against West Coast, East Coast. And so coming up, for this week, when they travel to away to King Country, it's top four clash. But King Country have had a bit of a wood over Whanganui in recent years. So it's, a couple of really good, hard games for them over the next 2 weeks.
Was that a little prelude to the final between the same two teams? What do you think, Kevin?
It was possible. Yeah. I've heard a bird say that Whanganui this year are budgeting on not travelling anywhere. And so they basically want to see that final at Cook's Gardens. And, if they can repeat what they did last year down in Timaru, well, they'd be more than happy. But it is slowly happening that way. I mean, the next couple of weeks' results will be, vital, of course. I mean, you can pretty much guarantee South Canterbury will pick up a win this weekend against Poverty Bay because it's down in Timaru. Poverty Bay aren't the world's best travellers. So I think for the next couple of weeks, we're still going to see these two teams still, fighting out the top. But with the draws that were in place last weekend, Whanganui have now got that three-point buffer. And if, the teams below them start faltering, it's, book your tickets for Cook's Gardens in October.
Yeah, indeed. All right. Good rivalry between these two teams at the moment. It is good to watch. Now, West Coast played the Battle of the Coast. That would have been a good occasion down in Greymouth over the weekend with East Coast. We were trying to figure out what the route would be, actually, to get down to play in Greymouth. I guess we'd drive down to Gisborne, maybe fly to Wellington or something.
No.
You tell me how they get there.
Okay, well, basically, they go from Gisborne and they flew a chartered flight to Westport.
Oh, there you go then.
Then they caught a bus from Westport to Wellington. Westport to Greymouth.
Yeah.
And then they had an awesome game for the Arthur Wicks Memorial Trophy, which West Coast held again. East Coast were playing really well. They were in front at half time. I believe West Coast got the try right on the half-time break because it was at one point about 24-12. And West Coast brought it back, but then, took off and won the game by 6 points. But the postscript to this was that the East Coast almost got stranded on the West Coast. On the way back, there was a slip between on their bus route, and so they actually had to wait. And luckily, they had to leave early to get to Westport to catch their plane back to Gisborne. And but there was a major slip on the main road and on the way, so they all got held up. But they got to see a bit of sightseeing around the countryside of the West Coast before they could get back.
Fantastic.
So it's a big trip.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, that's a great story. Of course, charter planes. Yes, I didn't think that charter planes would be an option, but yes, they clearly are these days, eh? Geez, if you went you know, the normal route, drive to Gisborne, fly to Wellington, down to Christchurch, over to Westport or something like that. It would be a bit of a haul, wouldn't it?
It certainly is. I mean, then you've still got a few of the guys. I mean, you've still got a good 1.5-2 hour drive back to Ruratoria from
Gisborne. That's right. That's right.
It's still one of the, probably the, you know, I wouldn't envy road trips to put on people. East Coast do it tough with their travel. But, hey, they pony up, and to go all the way that way and only go down by 6 points and still walk away with a couple of bonus points. You know, they're on 3 points now. They're actually having a really good season. So, you know, if they can pick up the odd win this year, they could still be in the Lahore Cup hunt.
Could be. Good stuff, Kevin. Nice chatting to you again, mate. A pleasure having you on. We'll chat to you again next Monday.
Cheers, Ben.
Thanks, Kevin.
See you soon.